Aloha, North Kohala. It's Holly Allgood at KNKR, LP 96.1 FM Kohala. I'm here on Tutu's Talk Story. I'll be your host for the next hour. And we have a very exciting guest, Susan Hanaano. Susan, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Oh, I'm so glad to hear your voice. Susan is 84 years old, and she still plays baseball, and she makes the best bud-bud I've ever had. So, Susan, welcome to the show, and we're really anxious to hear some of your life stories. Can you tell us where you were born and raised?
I was born in Kohala, North Kohala, in Kapa'au. My family, we all lived on Kahua Ranch. Dad was working for the ranch here. He was a Yolo. So we lived there for about, 36 or 39, 40, 41, 42. About six or seven years we lived there. But my mom was really asthmatic, and we needed to move to a drier area. We're supposed to move to Kau, but then I had appendicitis, so I ended up in the hospital when I was like, 3, 4? And so we didn't move until about 2 years later. So we moved to Hilo in 1944. Then we ended up in Ola then, but it's Keau now. So we moved here in 1945. And that's where I grew up, yeah.
So what was Hilo and Keau like back in the 40s?
Oh, it was a nice little, it was a village, you know how a village is?
Mm-hmm.
You know, where people, everybody knows each other, everybody takes care of each other. We didn't have to close or lock doors, you know, our doors were always open.
Mm-hmm.
We could visit family and friends, you know, like we're all the kids in the neighborhood, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was really nice. And we had, like I always tell my friends, all our village was, you know, we had all kinds of different nationality stores. We had a Filipino store, we had Japanese stores, and we had Chinese stores, you know, and the bakery, and we had an ice house, we had like a police station, fire station. I mean, it was really nice growing up here, you know.
So tell us about the ice house.
Well, the ice house was like a little storage area, like, and they made ice. But those were, in those days, they made the big block ice, put in the ice box. I don't know if anybody remember the old time ice box where you put the big block ice on the top. Yeah.
How big a block of ice are we talking?
Oh, maybe nowadays maybe about 15, maybe about 10, 12 pounds. Yeah, maybe more.
And it was in one big square.
One big square. Yeah, you put it on the top of the ice box, and then you. Keep our food in that. Yeah. But most of the time when I remember growing up in Kohala and then we moved here on this side of the island, it was like we had the thing we called a safe. It was like a little screened out, you know, dresser drawer liking. And then that's where we kept our bread and butter and everything, but we could keep it outside of the refrigerator.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and then it would last longer than it does today. So.
Lasts longer than today.
Yeah.
Isn't that interesting? Yeah. I wonder why.
I don't know.
Hmm.
And we didn't use preservatives, you know, so I don't know. It just kept longer.
Did you have were you part of a big family?
No, my family, we actually had my mom, we had grandpa, my dad's dad, and then mom and dad, and then I had my dad's sister. She became my big sister, so she was older than me. And then there was me, and then there was my brothers. There was nine of us. Mm-hmm. I have two brothers and one sister. So my uncle became my big brother, and so you know, there were nine of us in our family moving from Kohala to Hilo.
Mm-hmm. And what did your family do for work?
My dad was actually in Kohala. He was like a cowboy, Paniolo, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then when we came to Hilo, he ended up working at the slaughterhouse. Mm-hmm. He was a meat slaughterhouse.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when he stayed there for like, 40 years he was working
oh,
there.
Oh, my goodness,
yeah.
40 years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but he had an accident, and he fell over on a ladder, a 20-foot ladder, and so he had to retire.
After 40 years?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
And then my mom was mostly, she worked at restaurants and in Hilo.
And did you go to school in Hilo?
I was here in Olaf. I ended up, actually I went to YKR Elementary and I ended up Mountain View Elementary. In 1945, we moved to KL, so I was in third grade. And then until ninth grade. We only had kindergarten to ninth grade then. And everybody went to Hilo High School.
And do you remember anything about the school, what it was like going to school there then?
Oh, KL school. Well, our school, it was really nice. We had, it was all, our bathroom was outside, outhouses. And then we had, and everybody, every morning, we'd all wash hands and brush teeth before we go into the classroom.
And you do that at school?
At school, yeah. And then after lunch, everybody has to go again, get your toothbrushes, brush your teeth before you take a nap and all that. In the elementary grades, yeah.
It sounds like you all must have had pretty good teeth back then.
Yeah, when we were younger, yeah.
Isn't that something?
No.
So did you have the same teacher for each grade, or how did that
work? No, we had different teachers in each grade, yeah. And then, like long ago, we always had our May Day program. And then, I was in the ninth grade, and in the ninth grade, we have our May Day queen, we have the king, and the courts, and all that, yeah? So I was our May queen in 1961 for our school.
A May queen.
Yeah.
And for maybe for people not from this area, tell people what the duties are of the May Queen.
Well, the May Queen, they're just, we have a court, and the king and queen, and then the attendants, then usually the dressed attendants in all the eight islands, everybody, like Hawaii, you have red mumu, or a red lei, or whatever, yeah, we all dressed up, whatever, however they get us to do. And when I was queen, I went to Kohala and my aunts and aunties, and asked them for flowers. I had my akulikulile. I made my own akulikulile and my own crown. And then we had a good friend made my holoku.
So can you explain a little bit about what each of those things are, again, for people who made, because people listen to us from all over the world.
Oh.
So like an akulikulile, how many flowers does it take to make one?
Oh, it depends on how big your head is, I guess. And we usually make it, it takes a lot of flowers.
Like hundreds, huh?
Hundreds, yeah.
And talk a little bit about the other things that you would be wearing or using.
Yeah, I made my own lei with the akulikuli. And then that's all I wore for me. And then where my holoku is like a long mumu dress, yeah, with a trail. I had made that. In fact, I still have it. It's been 68 years.
Isn't that something?
And it fits, now it fits me.
Isn't that something?
Yeah. And then my my king, he's gone already, but he was, we were always playing sports. I always played sports. So
when did you start playing sports?
Oh, when I was a little girl in Kohala, I'd make my, we didn't have any balls. So I would make, make a bunch of grass and then tie it up and make it like a ball and we'd play. And we use our hands to, bat, whatever.
Wow, you made your own balls.
We didn't have anything yet to play with, the one we have today. Yeah, we played in the pasture, made our own bases. Because my hero is Babe Ruth.
Oh, isn't that something?
Yeah, and I used to listen to all the shows or the games on the radio.
Yeah.
We didn't have TV and all that. Yeah. So.
Babe Ruth and I are from the same town. I was born in the Bronx. Babe Ruth lived...
He's my hero. That's why all my life I wanted to play baseball like Babe Ruth, so...
Isn't that something? Yeah. So when did you start to get to play baseball with a real ball?
Oh, when we moved to Hilo, it was like rubber ball. But I always, in my elementary grades, I always brought my own badminton ball to school because school don't start at 8, and everybody comes to school by 7:30, but I go to school at 6 in the morning.
Oh, my goodness. Well, and in those days, there weren't a lot of girls playing baseball, were there?
No. Yeah.
So how was that for you?
Because I was the tomboy, I guess, I always wanted to play sports, and I played with all the boys in school. And I was playing in elementary, like, you know, in sixth grade, fifth grade. Mm-hmm. I played with the boys, the eighth and ninth graders, you know.
So they'd let you play. Didn't give you a hard time. You must have been pretty good.
Yeah. They never gave me a hard time. I don't know. Men folks always, I could play sports and they didn't mind, yeah.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Yeah, it was nice.
Did you play other things besides baseball?
Yeah, I played volleyball. Mm-hmm. I played tag football and what else?
So it sounds like you were quite the athlete.
Yeah.
And did that continue after
school?
Well,
most of my life, you know, when I was young and in high school didn't do too much. I didn't have too many sports that the women could play, the females could play.
Right.
Outside of the school, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But then when I went to college, I didn't play any sport then. Mm-hmm. It was mostly basketball for the boys and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Football, I think that's all we had at CCH. I went to Church College of Hawaii.
Uh-huh.
It's BYU now. Yeah. I was, our class was the second class. Yeah. We went and it started 55, 56. I was there 56, 57. Oh yeah.
And where is that?
In Laie on Oahu.
Oh, that's what I thought.
Yeah.
So what was that like going from Hilo to Oahu for school?
Well, Oahu was really country then,
uh-huh.
And down that year, it was like going, I'm just moving to the next town from here, yeah.
So you didn't feel like it was a big culture shock in any way?
No, yeah. Because mm-hmm. my brother asked for me, he and I went to college at the same time.
Well, and that was also pretty unusual for girls to go to college at that time.
At that time, yeah. There were more males in college than females,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
So how was that for you?
It was good. It was okay.
Mm-hmm.
And then actually when we started, there was only like 100 of us, you know, there, 100 something.
Yes.
For the second year. And the first year wasn't that much. Second year we had a little more, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But then my mom got sick in 1958, died. And so my youngest brother was still in school.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had to come home and take care of him. He was 11th grader. And, yeah, he had one more year, so I stayed home.
Mm.
Helped my dad, yeah, keep my brother in school.
So you had to leave college.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I had to leave college. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And did you go back?
No, I never went back. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because my dad went. He when my brother graduated, 59,
mm-hmm.
60, 59 or 60 anyway. And then he went into the National Guard. He was National Guard, so he went away on his own and said, "You're 18, go. I'm not holding your hand."
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was like I was always the mama of all my family. Yeah.
So you took care of everyone?
Everybody, yeah. Mm-hmm. I've always been the caregiver, yeah.
And that was back in Hilo?
In both in Kohala and Hilo. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. So did you work at all after your brother left home?
Yeah, I went to Oahu. My sister was there already, so when my brother left, my dad was home here. By himself, so I went to Oahu and was there for 58, 59, 60. Yeah, I lived there for about 3 years, and then I came home. And let me see, when my brother, I came home in 60, I think. Then I went back to Oahu.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, then I had an old friend that moved to that I knew anyway. Came to Oahu, then I ended up 61. I got married.
Uh-huh.
I came back here to live.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Came to
Hilo to live
mm-hmm.
for a little while, and then we moved to Oahu.
And what were you doing during that time?
I went to work on Oahu. I had my husband was working for the Nihai Bottling Company, like Coca-Cola, you know.
Uh-huh.
Called Nihai Bottling Company.
Uh-huh.
And so I went to work there in the factory, yeah, making syrup and bottling the sodas and all that.
So Nihai, weren't they famous for orange soda?
Orange soda, it was so good.
So you made the syrup. What?
I made the syrup, yeah, and then I used to make the syrup for the Coca-Cola company.
Oh, my goodness. Can you tell us how you made syrup without giving away any trade secrets?
Well, in that time, the factory was in Sand Island.
Uh-huh.
And we made the syrups in big vats. I mean, they're huge vats. You know, I had to put in all the ingredients and stuff to stir it. Then you had to stir it by hand. I mean, it was like paddling a canoe or a big boat.
How many, do you remember how many gallons?
Oh, man, they were huge.
Huge.
I don't know. Mm-hmm. A couple hundred gallons, I think.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. So you would make one batch of, like, hundreds of gallons of syrup batch.
Syrup, yeah. Mm-hmm. They were huge batches, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I worked there for a little while.
Mm-hmm. Well, that sounds exciting. What happened next?
After that, I came back to Hilo, and I got divorced, so I lived in Hilo until my boys were getting older.
Oh, so it sounds like you had some kids during that time, too.
Yeah, I had two then, and then before I got divorced, I had my third one and fourth one.
Oh, my goodness. So do you have
four? So I have five sons.
Five sons. Yeah. Oh, my goodness. And are they all on island?
They're all alive. They're all grown. Mm-hmm. My oldest one is 58. My second is 57.
Wow.
And my third is 55. Mm-hmm. And my fourth is 51. Two, he'll be 52. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. So we should go back to your story, though. So.
Yeah.
It sounds like you came back to Hilo after getting divorced. And what did you do here?
Well, here I started working in restaurants, and I did housework, you know, families, and taking care of kids as usual. And then in the later years, when the kids were all grown and out of school, I worked all through that. I raised them by myself, so. And then in 83, I think I worked. Cause I've always done restaurant and everything else. Working, you know, but I've never done any kind of clerical work and all that. And the 2 years I was in college doing my work, because when my younger boy was in kindergarten, when he was 4 years old, my third son, my third and fourth son went to Head Start, the Head Start program for children, and so I ended up being a teacher's aide. And so when the two was out of Head Start, let me see. I had gone into the one program anyway where I moved around with the teachers to open up different schools. Yeah, so Head Start schools,
Well,
so I ended up coming back to KL, to Ola. We had one little preschool here. And then I did that for a couple of years. And what else I did?
So it sounds like you were working in the schools for a while.
Yeah, I worked in the schools for a while. Yeah. And then afterward, I went, where did it go? Let me see, 83, was it, did I say? I think about 83, I went to work for this restaurant that was opening up. Well, before that, I worked for the YWCA. And I've never done, like I said, I've never done clerical work, so I saw it in the paper, we need an outreach worker, we're hiring. So I said, okay, maybe I'll try something new. So I tried, and outreach worker is an outreach worker. You go and find your families. So it was the Head Start program, the Healthy Start program, it was the child was our basic person that we would be working with. You know, whenever the baby was born, we'd go to the hospital, meet the mom, and see if they want services from the agency. So I did that for 11 years.
Was that through the YMCA?
YWCA.
YWCA?
Yeah. It was Department of Health program, but the YWCA umbrellaed the program.
For healthy children, huh?
To help the children. It's mostly letting them know about the different services we had in the community. Oh, I love working with the babies.
So let's talk a little bit more about baseball. So after high school, did you start playing?
After high school, I was mostly in volleyball at that time.
Okay.
And then after high school, I started playing. We had a women's league in Hilo. And so there were like about 15, 20 teams that were all women. And that's like for 5 years. It was like every day in the baseball field practicing, and then every weekend we'd be playing our tournaments and stuff.
Every day? That's something. So it sounds like, what year was that?
Oh, like, maybe in the early, late 70s and the early 80s. Yeah, we started.
And so was that a surprise to you that there were so many women playing baseball?
Oh, no, no. Yeah. It wasn't surprising because we started when they were young, yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah, so this was going on for a while. It wasn't just all of a sudden.
I've always been one of the oldest women players.
Isn't in that something?
You know? Uh-huh. Yeah. There were some other women that was almost my age and stuff, you know, but mm-hmm. I was always somehow, and I had some of my other girlfriends that played too that was my age, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it sounds like you were playing in tournaments, so you must have had a good team.
Yeah, we had tournaments, yeah. We mm-hmm. had to, sometimes our training was pretty good, sometimes we weren't not that good, but we always played.
Mm-hmm. And so are you saying you're still playing with these groups?
Yeah, no. anymore. I started playing when I retired from my job. I went back to play baseball, softball, mm-hmm. actually, mm-hmm. With the Kupuna tournament, with Kupuna League.
Uh-huh.
All the seniors, and they were only men. For 24 years, it was only men.
Only men Kupuna players?
Only men Kupuna players. And so, the whole state here, yeah.
So has that changed?
Yeah, because I broke the barrier.
Oh, nice. When was that?
When was the year is that? 1990, I think it was.
1990, so 30 years ago.
No, 1997. Yeah.
So how did that start? Were you on one of the men's teams?
I tried to, you know, we have to go and look for one team we want to play for, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And finally, I asked. In Hilo, we had like 11 teams, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so I went and asked different, you know, different coaches. But I had the program, you know, senior activity programs for Hilo.
Mm-hmm.
And then they said, okay, you go to this team, you know. And then I said, okay. So I went to 5 different teams, you know, to ask if I could join. And then the coaches get back to me, oh, no, you know, because they have to vote you in.
Right.
And then the men didn't want the women on their team. So I said, oh, why? You know, so I asked one of the coaches, and he said, well, some of them say, well, if she plays better than us, we don't want to play.
Oh, no.
And I was like, no, you know, I just want to play. Let me come and join. I'll be the pom-pom cheerleader, you know. And they said, no, we don't want women on the team, I guess, you know. So I said, okay. So I went to 5 teams. So finally I went to a team I'm on now. It's called Pool by Opil. And the coach there was a Hawaiian man, and he said, oh, Auntie, you want to really play? I said, I've played all my life. I want to play now that I'm retired.
Mm-hmm.
And so he said, okay, come, you know. Then I had a good friend, you know. We always played volleyball together since we were like 6 or 7 years old. And I told her, come play with me. She didn't want to, but I said, no, you have to come play with me because I'm going to be the only female mm-hmm. playing with all these men.
Mm-hmm.
And so she came with me. She played for 2 years. She said, okay, now you can go on your own. You know, I'm going back to volleyball, you know. So I've been playing now since 97. I mean, 97, 98.
So did they start to have women's teams?
No, we don't. Oh, my gosh. I've been playing, for 22 years.
Wow.
For the last 2 years, mm-hmm. we've had one team on Maui, all women, but they have 2 men that plays with them when they don't have enough women. Yeah.
So there's no all-women Kupuna teams?
No more. Yeah.
Hmm. How old does somebody have to be to play Kupuna?
Well, Kupuna is 55 on to 90. Some people end up 90 and they're still playing until they cannot, you know.
Oh, that's fabulous. Yeah. 55 to 90.
Uh-huh. So I've been playing since I was 62.
Oh, my gosh.
So
mm-hmm.
I'm 82. So
22 years.
Yeah. So mm-hmm. maybe my son, my second son always tell me, Ma, you're keeping us, we're keeping you alive, so you are still playing till you're 102. I said, no. Don't want to play when I'm 102.
Yeah, well, isn't that something? So it's so interesting to me that still during this time there's no, because women outlive men, right? You would think there would be more older women who would want to play.
Yeah, because all the girls who played with me, you know, during the mm-hmm. women's age and stuff, they stopped playing maybe in their 40s, you know. They,
mm-hmm.
they get married and all that stuff. Oh, I got too much kids. We cannot play anymore and all that. Yeah, but it's been good. All my sport life, you know, I'm playing and stuff. So it's been good.
And it's so interesting to hear that you say that people were afraid you were going to play too well.
I know, you didn't hear.
People weren't telling you that they were afraid women wouldn't kind of meet the same, you know, be as good as men.
Yeah, because we have divisions, A, B, C, and D division. Yeah. Those who the older people usually end up in the you know the lower division, but the A and B ones, you know, they're 55 years old, and they're still really young compared to the 80-year-olds. Yeah.
So what position did you play?
I pitch.
You pitch?
Yeah.
So that's so you're like a star of the team.
Yeah, sort of, yeah. I know. So I'm the only lady pitcher that's been pitching all this, you know, for a long time.
Isn't that something? So you're the only female pitcher for the Kapuna League.
Yeah. But then a couple of years back we had one girl from Maui when she was like 40 something years old and used to work for the county, and whenever we had the tournament, she'd go, oh, Auntie Sue, I can't wait to get old like you guys, you know. And then when she finally did, and I went to her tournament, we went to the tournament. We have the tournament, we call it a state tournament where everybody goes to the tournament, yeah. And we go, like, we're here on the Big Island 1 year. Next year, we go to Kauai, and then we go to Oahu, then we go to Maui, and, you know, it just goes just around and around. And so when we went to Maui, and then there she was in the field pitching, you know, and I was like, whoa, Franny, you made it.
Yeah. That's very exciting. Yeah. Well, I have Isla, our wonderful engineer here, wants to ask you a question.
Oh, okay. Hi, how are you?
Hi, Isla.
Oh, I love hearing about this because I just turned 60 and I've been playing sports and you're inspiring me to go find the Kapuna, the Kapuna
has.
Team.
Yeah,
yes.
Kohala has. They have, in fact, there's one girl on the team over. She's good. She's a holy girl there.
Yeah. I'll find somebody who knows. I wanted to ask you, so as one gets older, sometimes there's aches and pains you have to deal with in the back and this. How have you kept yourself going all these years, able to do the sports?
Well, for me, whenever I go out in the field, I have no pain.
You have no pain?
No pain.
So when you still have the passion for it?
Yeah. And then when I get home, of course, the pains all come out.
So do you have any tricks for those of us who are getting on in years in terms of how to get rid of those aches and pains when you come home?
Well, a lot of rest, sleep a lot. Because when I was younger, I used to sleep like maybe 4 hours, you know, hardly any 6 hours or 8 hours.
Oh, my goodness.
I couldn't. I would get up in 4 hours or 4.5 hours, you know. And I guess, like I say, raising my children by myself, I was up early and I was down late, you know, to go to bed. So one of my sons told me, Ma, I've never seen you sleeping. But, you know, they see me up when they go to bed and they see me up when they get up, you know. So,
rest is important, we're finding
rest
out.
Rest is important and have a good health, you know. When you're young, and keep it as good as you can, and save some, like I always tell my friends, you know, save some for when you're old, because, you know, you're going to need it when you're old.
So take good care of yourself throughout your life so that it's not a problem when you're older. That's really good advice.
Yeah.
We are listening to Susan Hananaño on Tutu's Talk Story on KNKR LP 96.1 FM Kohala. We're going to take a brief station break. Stay back because we want to hear more from Susan.
Kohala Gleaning is bringing their free fruit sharing market to Kappa Al. It will be Thursdays at 4 p.m. at St. Augustine's Episcopal Church on Akone Pule Highway. Bring what you can, take what you need. Kohala Gleaning is an all-volunteer nonprofit operation. We can always use another helping hand. No pay, great benefits. For more information, call 889-1282.
Woman, sister, do you hear me? You are the giver of life, your blood.
This is Isla Allgood of Women's Voices. Tune in on Monday and Wednesday from 4 till 6 p.m. to listen to women from around the world, around Hawaii, songs with positive and empowering messages on KNKR LP 96.1 FM. Monday and Wednesday, 4 to 6 p.m.
Your bones are the trees in the forest.
Aloha, this is Holly Allgood from North Kohala. Here at KNKR LP 96.1 FM Kohala. I'm your host for Tutu's Talk Story. I'm very excited. We're talking today to Susan Hananyo, and she is quite something. We're hearing about her baseball career and how for over 20 years she was one of a very few people playing kapuna softball. Yeah, few women. So, she's also a great cook, I have to say. I met her at a party over this weekend, and she had some budbud there, which I had never had before, and I couldn't keep away from it. And she told me she had grated the coconut herself and that she can prepare several coconuts within a minute. Did I get that right? It seems unbelievable to me.
Yeah, I can husk it.
Husk it, yeah. So talk to us about husking coconuts. How did you learn how to do it so quickly?
Well, I was the oldest, and whenever we had, we always had, with my dad, we always had to do color pig and making Hawaiian food, you know.
Uh-huh.
And we always had luau's and parties when I was growing up. But anyway, I used to help my dad, but we used to do it with a pick. You would have to stuck the pick in the ground, you know,
mm-hmm.
and make sure it's sturdy, and then we'd have to bend over and peel the coconut.
Mm-hmm.
But in the later years, when I was when I was working at a restaurant, and my girlfriend's husband told me, "How do you peel your coconuts?" So I told him. He said, "Oh, I'll get you something," and so he made me. It was like a rear end of a car, you know, with the tires and. He took out the tires on one side, left a rim on the pole with it, and then it was like a stick. Yeah, and so he sharpened that and he brought it to me, and I said, "Oh!" And then I didn't have to bend over.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I could husk the coconut. Yeah.
Right, right.
So then it was easier. I could husk faster that way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I've had that, but then in the later years, when my younger brother, he said, "Okay, I'll do you a favor," you know, so. We can have it more sturdy and whatnot. So he filled the rim up with cement.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's too heavy for me to carry it. And mm-hmm. I have to roll it. Mm-hmm. And so I have to go to his house to peel the coconut.
But
peeling the coconuts was easier because I don't know, maybe because I'm a little stronger, I can, you know, husk it faster. But then you peel the coconut from the stem part. The mm-hmm. stuff that's on the stem of the branch. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. If you take all that up first, and then, you know, it's easier to just pull up the husk. Yeah.
Well, you must have done quite a few. What were you using the coconuts for?
Well, I do like for Hawaiian parties. Yeah, we do the squid luau. We use the coconut milk. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then we do the haupia, which is coconut milk.
Mm-hmm.
And then I do the kulolo. It's just, you know, coconut milk you have to add on.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of foods that we ate. You know, that we needed coconut milk.
And you made all your own coconut milk? No, canned milk.
I do my own coconut milk. I don't do the canned or the frozen one yet. So it's only all fresh.
Could you tell us again, for the people who may not know, how you make the coconut milk?
Oh, the coconut milk, okay. Yeah, you husk the coconut, then you crack it open. Then I have a grinder. I grind the coconut into, you know, so I can squeeze out the milk.
Mm-hmm.
But I do it all by hand, yeah. So I spit out the milk in my cheesecloth or whatever and get out the milk, yeah.
So do you add water to after you grind up the coconut?
No.
Oh, so you just use the
coconut
water.
Yeah, just the fresh coconut, yeah. The only time I use water is when I do the haupia. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so how many coconuts do you have to open usually for a batch of coconut milk?
Oh, maybe three. You get a good, you know, maybe a quart or so. Yeah, about three coconuts. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And do you grow coconuts?
No, I have to go and pick them down the beach or whoever has it. People would give me coconuts and whatever. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So it sounds like a lot of work for your luau's.
Yeah. It's always like so. And the funny, my friends and everybody, they always laugh at me because they say, how come you make your own parties? On my birthday, I make my own parties, my own luau, and I cook all the food, you know.
When's your birthday?
March.
In March.
March 19th. So March, yeah.
Well, we'll all be looking for a party invite.
Yeah. Too bad because my siblings, they're all, my brother just made 80. Mm-hmm. So all of us are, all four of us, we're now 80. So we were supposed to make a big luau for all of us, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then the pandemic came, so it had to be canceled.
So not doing it.
Yeah, so maybe we'll get together. So I tell my brothers and my sister, I have my two brothers and my sister, I tell them, you better be around for the next 3-4 years if we can have our luau.
Yes. So, well, it sounds like you've always kept really busy cooking and caring for family. Do you have any time to do anything else these days?
Well, now being retired with the pandemic, I have a laughing volcano, but I gave it to my youngest son. I mean, it's under his name because it's for my granddaughter, my granddaughter, my 29th granddaughter. I had 29.
You had 27 grandchildren?
I have 29 grandchildren.
29?
Yeah, and then I have 32 great-grandchildren.
32 great-grandchildren.
Yeah. I know. I have a farm. I tell everybody, I have a farm. Yeah.
And you were telling me, what about your granddaughter?
My 22nd granddaughter?
Yes.
Yeah, she was born on my birthday.
Oh, isn't that something?
Yeah, she was my only gift for the year that year. So when she was born, my son and his girlfriend cut a cord, and he said, "Okay, Ma, here's your present." I said, "Oh boy, you're gonna be sorry because this brat is gonna be spoiled." And so she's always been my little angel, you know. She's gonna be 18 come March.
Oh my gosh!
She'll be graduating from Maui High School. I think she's at now. Yeah.
So she's on Maui.
She's on Maui with her mom. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so you were saying did you say you have a lot in Volcano?
Yeah, when I retired, I don't know why I bought a lot when I retired.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but I bought a lot in Volcano. So just a shack on it, but I have my flowers up there that I, you know, plant on the hapu'u. And I go up and clean the yard and just keep it so we can go whenever we want to get away from Hilo Town or wherever, yeah.
So it's a getaway. It sounds
it's
like you've done a lot of gardening up there.
Well, I'm trying to do my gardening, but you can't plant too many things up there, you know, that they won't grow, yeah.
What grows up there?
I don't know. I have to go find out because I tried. A taro has been going good, you know. I'm trying to do the cherries, but I don't know if the cherries are going to do good because we used to have plums. We had plums in Volcano before, yeah.
Plums in Volcano?
Yeah, there were plums in Volcano.
At what elevation?
Well, right in Volcano, in the village.
In the village, yeah.
Yeah. The farmers, they had this farmer. Mm-hmm. He had a big orchard, you know, and he had all the plums. And he didn't invite anybody, you know, who wanted to buy plums. They'd come up. You could eat all the plums you wanted and then make your box, and then you pay for it, and you can go home, you know.
What did the plums look like?
There were the little ones. In fact, Kitty here, last summer, they had it. That came from, it wasn't from here, you know.
What color were they?
They were red. Yeah, they were red, but they were little. Some of them were pretty big, but they were really juicy and sweet, you know.
So you're gonna see if you can find a plum tree, huh?
Well, the trees are still there in Volcano, but something came. I don't know if it was a virus or what. It killed the trees. Yeah.
Too bad.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So everywhere in Volcano, no more. But I heard those plum trees are growing up in one ranch, you know. Up in Honoka, Kokeyao Ranch or something. Mm-hmm. Anyhow, they said the plum trees are still growing there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
it sounds like maybe they got some kind of maybe pest.
Yeah, it was something that came and then the trees all started dying and all that. So no more plums for us.
So it's like you also like to grow flowers. What kind of flowers you got going there?
Well, I get the orchids. Yeah, the orchids grow nice in Volcano. I have some orchids, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I call the snowballs, you know, the blue ones that bloom all the time.
Mm. The hydrangeas?
Yeah, hydrangeas. Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah, I have a grandson. He does, he was doing wedding planning, so we did one show one time here, and he had all the flowers, and they was throwing it away. I said, what are you doing? He said, I'm throwing it away. I said, oh, I'm going to go and plant it, volcano, and now it's all growing.
Oh, isn't that some, the hydrangeas?
Yeah, the hydrangeas, yeah.
Mm, I'm jealous, yeah. We try to grow them, but it's too low elevation,
yeah,
I find,
yeah,
at lower Javi.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I know Auntie Miley is always looking for hydrangeas to make some Lays.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's great. So did he use your flowers for the wedding business?
No. Afterwards, he just did it at one time, so I don't know what he's doing now. You know, he's doing other things.
Mm-hmm. So it sounds like your volcano house keeps you pretty busy.
Oh, yeah. I go up there and just relax and do my yard.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's not flat or cleared out. It's just hilly, you know, where it's not where you can go with a lawnmower. So I do weed eating. I weed eat the whole. It's 10,000 square feet, so it's not a quarter acre. But it's enough for me to keep going.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it sounds like a lot of fun and a nice getaway.
It's a nice place, yeah.
So are you ever playing basketball these days? I mean, baseball these days, softball?
No, we had a league. After our regular league, we usually have a league called the Winter League.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, they have all the guys play. But then I said, I'm not going to the park because I go to the park and I'm the oldest person in the park.
Mm-hmm.
I said, I'm not going to come here and get sick from you guys, you know.
Right, right.
So it's like,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I stay home, so, you know, well, my oldest son plays with me. He plays softball. This was his 40th year playing with me. So.
Mm-hmm. That's
so I'm
right.
We're the only one, women, or not men, women. I'm the only mother and son in the whole state that plays.
Oh, isn't that something?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The rest of them, well, you have uncles and nephews and fathers and sons, you know, but I'm the only one, yeah. So I'm telling all my other friends, you know, that's playing now. Oh, boy, I wonder who's going to be staying on the playing softball, you know,
mm-hmm.
as long as I've been there. They said, well, you, we don't know you. We think you're going to be playing forever. Yeah, no, I'm not. I want to relax. I want to feel happy and feeling good when I go travel if I need to go. Yeah, because I have my granddaughter and my grandson live in Washington, in Spokane and in Seattle.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, I want to go visit them. I want to still be healthy. I don't want to be sick.
Well, it sounds like you're very smart. You've taken very good care of yourself,
yeah.
And you watch out for your health and know when to stay in and when to go out.
Yeah.
So are they, I mean, because of COVID, are they still, the team still playing?
Yep, they're still playing. That's why I don't go to the park. In fact, today is practice. Today is Monday and Wednesday, and Friday is our practice day.
Mm-hmm.
So since it started, I haven't been to the, I went to only two Saturdays to watch the games, but I sit far away from them. I go, bye, I'm going home.
Right, right, yeah. Has anybody gotten sick at the games?
So far, I didn't hear about anybody getting sick. We've been going to the games.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I said, well, it's good, you stay healthy, but I don't want to go because I might be the one who gets sick. So.
Mm-hmm. Well, so it sounds like you've really led a pretty interesting life with...
I've done so many stuff. I tell my kids all these things I've done, you know. I've had so much surgery. It's like how many times I've been put to sleep under the knife, 16 times in my lifetime.
Oh, my God. Was that sports injury related or what?
No, I had pancreas removed when I was like 3 years old. And then, not pancreas, but appendix.
Mm-hmm.
And then I've had gallstone removed and gallbladder. And I've had pancreatic mass removed. And I've had breast lumps removed. You know, it's like, okay.
Oh, my gosh, that's a lot. So it
I know,
sounds like...
Everybody tells me, all that much? I said, oh, well, yeah. Mm-hmm.
But it sounds like you've really, you've been, even though you've had all these surgeries, you've been able to play ball and do gardening at the age of 84 and get around and have luau's and do a lot of stuff.
All the things. I've always been caregiver, so... Even here with my neighbors, I live in the senior housing here in KL, and there's like 19 residents, you know, and there's only like two couples that live here, husband and wife.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm the only one that really leaves my apartment, you know, almost every time, every day.
Mm-hmm.
So when sometimes from those that get sick or need help, I go and help them.
Mm-hmm. Well, it sounds like you really are have been very resilient. I'm wondering if you have any beliefs as to why you're more resilient than the average person, because it sounds like you certainly are.
I don't know. I've always said, well, I'm a Latter-day Saint, yes, a Latter-day Saint. Mm-hmm. Well, they call us Mormons, but now we go by Latter-day Saint.
Mm-hmm.
I've been that for like 60-something years already, so
mm-hmm.
it's the only religion I've been with. So,
you have a strong spiritual background.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like that has kept me going, and of course, influence from my mom when we were younger. And all.
How did your mom influence you?
Well, I only had her for like 41 years. She died when she was 41.
Mm-hmm.
But she was always, she was most gentle. I always say she was so gentle, angelic kind of a person.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Always loving, you know, she was, I don't know if you ever heard of the song Blackbird.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
She used to sing that to me all the time.
Mm-hmm.
When I got sick or anything, you know, I know she would always sing that to me. Even when she'd play around and she'd come and tease me, and she said she would sing the song, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm the oldest, so I've been the pet for my grandpa's both sides, grandma's, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, it sounds like you got a lot of love in your life from your family.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that's why it keeps me going. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I guess it's true. They say love is the answer. I think, and it seems like people who have felt loved. Definitely do better than those who don't.
Yeah, raising my five boys, it was like, oh, like I was teaching preschool,
mm-hmm.
and I had all those babies, you know, 3 or 4 years old, mm-hmm. and they used to tell me, oh, you're glad to, well, I've been dreading to go home. I said, no way, I'm waiting to go home.
mm-hmm.
I wanted, because I had all my boys. And at one time when my kids were in the elementary school, and one day the parents go down before the bell rings, and we sit and in a car or whatever, and wait for the kids to come out. So my sons would always run up to me, you know, and I'd have treats for them, you know, cookies and stuff for them.
Mm-hmm.
And then this one mother was sitting in the car next to me. Almost every day I'd see her, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then one day she told me, you know, I wish I would have my children would run up to me and hug me before we go into the car.
Mm-hmm.
I said, okay, tomorrow. We sit there, and so when the kids were all running, you know, to us and stuff and us. And I told her, go over there. Before they get to you, go up to them and grab them and hug them, you know, and tell them you love them or something, you know, and then you can go home. Yeah, and she did it. And she was smiling. I guess when she was driving off, she was still smiling, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was nice. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's great advice.
Yeah.
Don't wait for someone to reach out to you.
Yeah.
Go over and hug them.
You're the older one. You go. I always tell my kids, you're the parent now for your children. You do it first, you know. You be the example. You go and treat them how you would like them to treat you, you know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Good advice. I think that's wonderful. I think a lot of people are, well, it sounds like you're pretty courageous. I think a lot of people are afraid to be the first.
Yeah.
To
maybe
make,
they're going to make a mistake or something.
Make a mistake or be rejected.
Yeah.
So I think.
I guess the rejection is what people worry about, yeah.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Well, and it's also, it sounds like that's a theme in your life because you didn't worry about being rejected by five teams. You just kept going until you find somebody that was willing to let you play ball.
Yeah, so now it would. So now the men, I mean, a lot of all the people who played when I started playing, you know, they still remember, you know, oh, yeah, we knew all my kids, my sister, you know, my brothers, they meet people, they go, oh, yeah, you know, these people are playing ball, you know. So my brother would tell them, oh, yeah, my sister plays, you know. Oh, you mean Sue?
Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah, we know Sue.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, that's great. So it sounds like you're leaving quite a legacy with I'm sure your grandkids really appreciate the person you've become and the person you model for them.
Yeah, because I went to one party, was it Christmas, I think. Last Christmas, not this one, yeah, last Christmas, my great-grandchildren were playing, you know, in the yard.
Mm-hmm.
And then I heard one of them telling his cousin, oh, you know Tutu Mama? He calls me Tutu Mama. You know Tutu Mama? She still play baseball, you know. It's so cute.
Yeah, so they are aware, and that's wonderful.
Yeah.
I love the advice, don't wait on somebody, just do it yourself.
Yeah, you go in. I'll yeah. help, you know. Like,
so,
even my oldest grandchild, mm-hmm. my daughter-in-law and my grandson, my son divorced, you know, and she moved away. And I always made sure I got in touch with his grandma, mm-hmm. you know, to know where he was. And until today, that's the only way I think I can remember is why I still can find him, you know. He lives in Seattle, you know, but mm-hmm. I went to see him. I saw him when he was 8 years old. I didn't get to see him again until he was 23 years old.
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to his sister's graduation in Spokane, but I went to his house first. And so at the airport, they had to push me on the wheelchair, and I said, I'm all alone, push me on the wheelchair. So anyhow, when I was the last one to go to the parking lot where he was picking me up, and his car was the only one there, and then all I heard was, Grandma. And it was, you know, since he was 8 years old. And
yes.
He remembered me, you know. It was like, mm-hmm. oh, my gosh, he remembers.
Mm-hmm.
That he was a grown man already. It was like, oh, boy.
Mm-hmm.
But I usually try to keep families together, you know. Mm-hmm. And even they fight and they grumble, but I try to keep them together. So.
Mm-hmm. And where do you think you got the courage from? It sounds like you're pretty brave.
I think my dad instilled it in me.
Mm-hmm.
Because when my mom was alive, you know, that he was kind of like, I don't know. He used to give my mom a hard time.
Mm.
And so it was always, I had to be the one, like, being the mother to my mother, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, Grandpa was there, but not much. But I always was the one to be the one to say, never mind, Mom, never mind, you know.
Mm-hmm.
We can do it, you know, that's okay. Dad's doing his thing, you know, but. Maybe it was more from, I learned from his dad, from actually you would say his errors, yeah. And I thought, okay, I'm not going to be like that, you know. So
it sounds like you really took a look at what you wanted to be like and what you didn't want to be like.
I wanted to be like that. Even when I got married and I got divorced, I said, I don't want to have a husband just like my dad, you know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Maybe it helped me keep me sane.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's good. So, and that was also pretty brave. Back in those days, not a lot of people got divorced.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, did people try to talk you into not?
Oh, yeah, they did. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's had some good friends. In fact, they used to come bring him over, you know. I said, don't bring him over. I don't want to have nothing to do with him, you know.
Right.
Because he didn't want to be a husband.
Mm-hmm.
Or a father, well, then go do your thing, you know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I'll take care of the boys the best I can. So.
Mm-hmm. Well, it sounds like it all worked out pretty well for you.
For me, yeah. Mm-hmm. That's why they said, oh, you're not lonesome. I said, yeah, if you come to my house, my family is all on my wall. My grandchildren, my father, my mom, grandpa, grandma, you know.
Mm-hmm.
They're all here with me, so I'm not lonesome.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's really been a pleasure speaking with you today.
Uh-huh.
And I think not only baseball, but just in life in general, you've given us a lot to think about. And it definitely, I mean, your positive attitude, your loving way with people, your kindness. Thank you for joining us today.
I was excited. I told my son in New York. I'm gonna be, so I don't know how he does his computer stuff and all that. He said, okay, I'm going to go listen to you Sunday.
Well, we will be replaying the show on Sunday between 12 and 1 if anybody wants to hear it again.
Mm-hmm.
And within the month, you'll be a podcast.
Oh.
So thank you so much, Susan, for joining us today.
Thank you for asking me. Yeah.
Yes. We wish you all the best.
Okay.
And thanks for being an inspiration to us all.
Okay, thank you.
Aloha.
Aloha.
Yeah, this is Holly Allgood signing off on Tutu's Talk Story here on KNKR LP 96.1 FM Kohala.
Aloha, North Kohala. Kohala Cares has moved its weekly food drive from Sushi Rock to the Hub parking lot. Those in need can drive to the parking lot and pick up a bag of groceries. Pickup begins at 4:30 every Wednesday. Please wear a mask. Donations, especially produce, will be accepted Tuesday from 1:30 to 4 and Wednesday from 3 to 4:30. We want to thank all our donors and volunteers for making all this happen. Remember, we're all in this together. Mahalo.
Aloha, this is Isla.
And Mikkel Anna, and we would love to invite you to join us for Activated Intuitive Talks Story.
Yes, join us the first Wednesdays of each month from 3 to 4 p.m. Tune in locally at 96.1 FM or live stream from anywhere at knkr.org.
And Isla, where would people go if they'd like to tune in to previous shows?
I'm so glad you asked, because they are located on Spotify, Google, and Apple Podcasts under Intuitive Talk Story.
Wonderful. Thank you so much. And we look forward to igniting with you soon.
Hai na ia mai ia.